Let's open the Bible at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Can I say that, although I do put the reading on the screen, and we'll keep the reading on the screen right through to the end, or near the end. But if you like a Bible in your hand, there are Bibles on the stands towards the back, then you're welcome to borrow one for the service. If you're joining us, I've been preaching my way through Philippians, it feels like about 3 years, but actually since the beginning of the year, and it's now nearly October, and I've reached chapter 3, it's towards the end of chapter 3, so I'm doing quite well. I hope to finish by Christmas. But it's so good. Actually, I kind of think I'll finish, then I'll go back and pick out some things I missed, because it's really beautiful, wonderful. I've been so blessed by this book. So chapter 3, verse 12. Paul's been talking about pressing on to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's what he's been talking about, to share the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, and to attain to the resurrection from the dead. What he's aiming for in his life. And he then sort of adds this bit. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Now, we'll leave that on the screen. And I'm trying to unpack that for a few minutes this evening. I've just read a couple of books by an American author called Marilyn Robinson. Two profound books. One is called Gilead, the other is called Home. And one's a continuation of the other. And it's full of quotable quotes. But one that struck me was in the second of the books. It's a book about two ministers and their family, two aging ministers and their families. Says, the ship we sail in is the soul, not the body. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. The ship that we sail in is the soul, not the body. I thought about that for a long, long time. I'm still thinking about it. And actually, do you know, as you think about it, there's such a profound truth in that. Our body ages, you know, but let me tell you this. Our body ages, but in your mind, in your soul, you feel the same sort of age, you know? And you feel the same. You experience life in your soul, not just in the body. And the soul is what takes us through life. Just thinking that Susan and I have been married for 35 years, yet we kind of relate to each other. When I talk to Susan, she's exactly the Susan of 35 years ago when we met. 35 years ago this month, in fact, we met. And she's still the same person. You know, we talk, she's still the same Susan. The ship that we sail in is the soul. We're soulmates, so we share together. And Paul's body is wearing down. This is what I'm getting to. Paul's body is wearing down. He's been in prison now. He's been a prisoner for several years. He's moved from Palestine, from Israel, to Rome. But he's still a prisoner. He's still chained 24 hours a day to a Roman guard. Though he's under house arrest, but he's chained to a Roman guard. He's been a prisoner for years. He's aging. We know he didn't know, but we know he's only got a relatively short time to live, maybe a few months, maybe a few years. We're not quite sure of the chronology. And he's had a hard life. He's suffered, he's travelled, he's been ill a lot, he's been beaten up a lot, he's been left for dead on several occasions. And all that has left aches and pains, and his body hurts. And there are days, we've seen, there are days he wishes he were dead. There are days Paul just wishes he'd gone to heaven. But then he says, no, I've got to stay because I've got work to do. Yeah, as long as I'm on this planet, I've got work to do. His body's wearing down, but his soul, The ship that he's sailing in is his soul, and his soul is getting nearer to Jesus and nearer to the resurrection and eternal life. So while his body's wearing down, his soul is kind of going full pace ahead, full speed ahead to meet with Jesus. That's kind of encouraging to me anyway. You're mostly too young to, this is going to pop up your heads. When you get to our age, you understand this. This is good. This is good. You know, these aches and pains you feel, okay, they're aches and pains, but your soul, that's getting near to Jesus. And getting nearer to the time when our body catches up with our soul, when we rise from the dead. That'll be a great moment. Our soul's gone on with Jesus, you know, and our body will catch up with it because we'll rise from the dead and God will give us a resurrection body. And Paul's talked about Jesus. He's told us that he lost his religion but found Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He stopped living religion by the rules of outward religion. His life now is a personal relationship with Jesus. That's why he gets up in the morning. When he wakes up in the morning, he's going to meet with Jesus and serve Jesus. And it's all by grace, he says. All that I've got, all I'm going to have, is just by grace. God's given me all of this, and I don't deserve any of it. But God's given me this eternal life. So Paul's continually excited. Later on, next month, we'll be seeing how this letter's full of rejoicing, because Paul's excited about what Jesus is doing in his life. And in this passage, he says four things about his spiritual journey, his soul journey, the ship of his soul and where he's sailing. The first thing is this: is it a spiritual journey? I press on, he says. I press on. He's seen amazing miracles. He's had stunning visions of God. He's had history changing success. Look at us. Here we are. The fruit of Paul's ministry, Paul and his colleagues. But still, he's on the journey. And he says to them, remember this, you're on a journey. Press on. I press on. The word press on, according to the commentators, Martin and Hawthorne, it's often used, or usually used, of a hunter relentlessly pursuing his prey. Although Paul sometimes uses it too for an athlete pressing on towards the goal. And in fact, I'll let you into a secret of the Greek. I press on is not a very good translation. A better translation of the Greek original would be I am pressing on. It's a continual thing. Don't press on once, you continually press on. Paul is day after day pressing on. That is the story of his spiritual journey, pressing on towards getting closer to Jesus. And he says, not that I've already been made perfect. Perfect is difficult translation. It's all the translators, all the commentators have problems with this word. It doesn't mean perfect in a philosophical abstract way. Now that's probably good news to all of us here, that we don't have to be perfect in a philosophically abstract way. It means functionally perfect, fit for purpose, is a modern phrase that we could translate that. Fit for purpose. The point is that the goal of Paul's life is to be fit for the purpose he was made. And why was he made? Why were all of us made? Well, we were made for the glory of God. So Paul wants to be fit for purpose. He wants to be useful. The purpose of his journey is to get to the point where he is totally useful to God. And I was thinking, actually, there's a flip side to this. Can you imagine the contrary of this? Getting to the end of your life and being declared not fit for purpose? Now, that's a nightmare, isn't it? Paul's dream is to be declared fit for purpose. His nightmare would be to get to the end and be declared not fit for purpose. No good for eternal life. Useless for the kingdom of God. And Paul doesn't want to be there. Paul doesn't want that to happen to him. He wants to be fit for purpose. Teleos. Perfect. I was thinking of a friend of mine who's an alcohol counsellor, and he spends his entire week counselling people who are chronic alcoholics or drug addicts. And his clients, many of them actually get more money per week from benefits than he gets from wages from serving them and trying to help them. They get more attention than he gets, and they get more care than he gets. That's the truth. They're high maintenance people. But I ask, which one is fit for purpose? Which one is closer to being teleos perfect? The counsellor or the counsellee? Well, in this case, it's clear. It's the counsellor who's fit for purpose. He's a wonderful alcohol and drug counsellor. Top professional. Some Christians are very high maintenance. Some Christians are too dependent on other people. Some Christians need to move on. Time to start giving instead of taking. Some Christians need to be moving on. In fact, all Christians need to be moving on. Giving instead of taking. Giving more, taking less. So what's Paul's purpose is? Of course, as we discover, we're all interdependent. But the point is to become qualified. To become qualified to serve Jesus Christ, not as a learner. He wants to become completely qualified as a servant of Jesus Christ. That's his aim. I was trying to think how to explain this. Let me talk about languages. I'm the world's worst linguist. I'm a very, very bad linguist. But by the grace of God, I've managed to kind of more or less get on top of three languages in my life. And the kind of distinction I'm trying to make here is between my Portuguese and my Welsh. Now, I speak my second language fluently, and Portuguese, I'm comfortable with it. I speak the street slang. I can turn on the radio in Brazil and understand any of the regional accents from any part of Brazil. I'm comfortable. I wrote books in Portuguese. I'm fluent in Portuguese. I'm genuinely fluent in Portuguese, and I enjoy Portuguese. I'm never going to be as fluent in Welsh. I've realized that because of various circumstances, I'm forever going to be the Welsh learner. Till the day I die, I will be the Welsh learner. I can get by, I can have a conversation, I can preach in Welsh, but it's a struggle because time and circumstances are against me. I'm never going to get on top of this, my third language. So in one, I'm mature, I'm teleos, in the other, I'm not. Can you see the difference? One, I know I'm going to get on top of. The other, I know I'm never going to get on top of. And Paul says, look, make sure that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to get on top of it. You're moving in the direction of Jesus in such a way that you're going to become fluent. You're going to become qualified. No longer a learner. You're going to get close to him. Press on. As I was writing this, I kind of did a little box in my notes here, just remind me to say this to you. We need to press on spiritually. If you've stopped, then it's time to start again while you still have time. Does that make sense? If you've stopped pressing on, this is a good moment to change your mind and start pressing on again. Move on, get closer. So it's a spiritual journey on. Secondly, it's a glorious destiny. I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. William Barclay has a wonderful commentary on this passage. And he writes, every person is grasped by Christ for some purpose. Every person is a dream of Jesus. That's a wonderful expression. Every person is a dream of Jesus. Jesus is delighted to have you on board. Jesus gave his life for you on the cross, and Jesus just loves having you. And Jesus has a purpose for you, a plan for you. And Jesus took hold of us, and he encouraged us to take hold of him, take hold of his riches, to grab our destiny, a glorious destiny. Not just trust in the past, as we're going to see, but press on for the glorious destiny. Grab it. Grab your prize. It's a spiritual journey and it's a glorious destiny. And thirdly, it's a forward-looking vision. Do you know what he says? I forget what's behind. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting what's behind. It means two things, I think. Firstly, it means not dwelling on past mistakes, to receive forgiveness from God and to move on. Now, some of us get hung up on past mistakes, don't we? I don't know if you're like me, but I'm the kind of person who agonizes for years about a mistake. And some of the psychologists are already taking notes on me. That's okay, that's how I am, yeah? But Paul says, forgetting what's behind. Paul says, you've got to leave your mistakes behind. Learn from them and move on. Because God's got a future for you. And the past is dealt with. The past is forgiven. Move on. Requires trust to accept it. There's a Hairduke, the poet, right? Take love into the shadows where self-hatred lurks. And trust that you were worth the death of God. You can argue about his theology, but the idea is beautiful. Taking love into the hatred, into the shadows where self-hatred lurks. And you know that God sent his son down the cross for you. So it means leaving your errors behind. Look, if you're being held back by something you did wrong in the past, it's time to move on, God's saying. Time to move on. Press forward. And it means to not dining out on past glories. Paul had fantastic achievements, but he says, I'm not going to dwell on that, though if you read 2 Corinthians, you might wonder how much he sticks to that. But I know some guys, some Christians, just dwell out on what they've done in the past. You know, you talk to them, every time you talk to them, you get the same story of how wonderful things they've done in the past. Yeah, that was then. What's now? What's waiting for me tomorrow? That's what's important. Not what I've achieved in the past. Forgetting what's behind and straining forward to what's ahead. So it's a spiritual journey. It's a glorious destiny. It's a forward-looking vision. And fourthly, it's an eternal reward. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. After every, it's an athletics vision. It's after every event, the name of the victor would be called out, their father's name and the country from which they come from, and they'd receive a palm branch and an advertising contract with Nike or Adidas. That was I just thought I'd see if you were still awake, but you're obviously not. Never mind. Just get used to my humour. The athletes in those days, that's what they received. And the word straining for here is epoktenomenos, which means straining towards the tape, rushing towards the finishing line, just pushing yourself to make sure you finish well. I've seen too many Christians fall by the wayside and finish badly. That's the truth, and it worries me. And I just pray to God I'm not one of them. Paul says, no, I'm pressing onwards. I'm pressing heavenwards. I take an example from a thing that happened in 1984. I'm going to show you a video clip. There's no sound to it. In the 1984 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, Gabriela Andersson-Schleiss, the Swiss athlete, came 37th in the marathon. Nobody remembers who won it, but those of us who remember the 1984 Games, which is a limited number here tonight, those of us who remember the 1984 Games remember Gabriela struggling towards the tape, and this is Gabriela's struggle. And went on to live a long and happy life. I think she's still alive. But that's how I want to get to heaven. Right? That's how I want to make it to heaven. That tired, beaten up, worn out, staggering, but I'm going to make it. Straining towards the finishing line. Just the sheer determination of that woman to get across the line. That's what Paul's saying. That's how I'm going to make it. Okay, my body's wearing down. I'm tired. I've been serving Jesus all these years. And I'm tired. I'm exhausted. But like Gabrielle, you know, I'm going to stagger across the line. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to get there, serving Jesus till the very last, till I get there. There's no fast-track ticket. You need patience. And you might be saying to me, Peter, well, that's easy for you. You're married to a lovely Christian woman, your kids are Christians, you work in a nice church, and you've got good health, everything's on your side, and you would be right. It is easy for me compared to many people. Don't have the problems they've got. Describing the Christian faith as a marathon is probably not very good. A steeplechase might be better, with things you keep falling over. You fall in the water, you drag yourself out of the water, you trip over the hurdle, and you go on staggering. Some of us are like that, you know. It just seems to go from one disaster to another, one crisis to another. Maybe that's a better picture. But the point is this: there's a finishing line. There's a point when you get the prize. There's a point when you step into glory and Jesus meets you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a point when you go through life and every morning you wake up and you say, "Good morning, God." And it's Monday, you wake up, you say, "Good morning, God." It's Tuesday, you wake up, you say, "Good morning, God." Let me tell you this, there'll be a day when you open your eyes and God says, "Good morning, Peter, welcome to heaven. Good morning, Sarah, welcome to heaven. Good morning, John, welcome to heaven. Good morning, Philip, welcome to heaven. Good morning, whatever your name is, welcome to heaven." That's the price. That's the price. As Paul steps into heaven and God prepares him and God gives him a new body and he will rise with Jesus. And that's another story you'll come to. He's living for Jesus today. That's why he's sure one day he will rise with Jesus. His desire, was it one church? Was it Willow Creek Church in heaven that said that their aim was to get to death's door, look back through life and say, "Wow, what a ride." The band would join me on the platform, please. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a world to change with the power of the Spirit of God. And you've given us hurdles and obstacles. And at times, Father, we're tired and we're just hanging on by our fingernails. And at times, Father, we're just sprinting. And at times we're joyful and at times we're sad. But we're on this spiritual journey. And in your grace, you've called us towards it, because one day we will rise with Jesus Christ. And we will live eternally in his glory with the other saints in glory. Lord, that's the prize. To share heaven. To share your kingdom. And until then, Father, well, if it's going to be a ride, it's going to be an up and down ride, it's going to be a hard ride, well, let it be so. Just let Jesus Christ be glorified in our body, in our hearts, in our lives this week and every week. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.